I'll just share a few scriptures this morning in the Gospel of John, been studying John and been really challenged. I want to look in chapter 4. This is where Jesus met the Samaritan woman and realized that he was reaching out across social barriers to reach this woman, not only her, but the city. But I want to look at verse 21. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is the Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. I don't really know all the differences between the Jews and the Samaritans. Adam Clark related that the Samaritans had the law, but they didn't accept the books of the prophets. I don't know. I just know there was some major differences and breaches there. But I want to think about this a little bit this morning about worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And it says the Father seeketh such to worship him. Now, worship is usually acquainted with get together, when the people of God get together. But I believe it's more than that. I believe our worship extends about every day of the week. I believe worship extends our private life, our public life. We worship. I don't think it's just in a setting like this that we call it worship. I believe we worship God. But he said in spirit and in truth. I want to read a comment here from Adam Clark. It said, a man worships God in spirit when under the influence of the Holy Ghost he brings all his affections, appetites, and desires to the throne of God. And he worships him in truth when every purpose and passion of his heart and when every act of his religious worship is guided and regulated by the Word of God. Now, I want to talk about two things just briefly here. The truth. I believe that's God's Word. I believe that's His commandments. I believe it's all of God's Word. So we worship Him in truth. And I believe in spirit is referring... And I don't know if it's all this distinctly cut in two, because one verse talks about the spirit of truth, but the spirit has to do with our motives. And that's what I've been really praying about and thinking about and challenged with, is the motive of our heart. We need to worship God in truth. That means we live truth. I want to look at another verse here in the third chapter of John. In the 19th verse, it said, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So here is Jesus talking about those that do truth, those that are living truth, that are keeping scriptures to the best of their knowledge and understanding, that come to light. But those that have an evil heart and they are seeking evil, they don't come to light. They're satisfied with where they are at. So doing truth is very important to us. And I think about the scripture in Hebrews 4:12 that talks about the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now this word intent, the intent of the heart, is important to God. To worship God in spirit and truth, it's going to have to be in truth. It's going to have to be in alignment with what the Bible teaches. And it also has to be the right motive, the right influence that's causing this worship. The Word of God is a discerner. And when I started reading all these scriptures and these things started coming together in my mind, it's like this is what the scripture is telling us, that God is not only concerned with our actions, but with the intent that's behind our actions, with the motive. The definition for motive is a reason for doing something. Something such as need or desire that causes a person to act. And we know that in court cases, many times they look for a motive. They look for probable cause. They look for things that would lead a person to commit such a crime, but they look at motives. What would be the intent and the motive of a person? Now, I want to say I don't believe it's up to us to judge. I don't want to judge other people's motives, but I believe we need God's help to help us to see our own motives. What is really influencing our life, our action? I believe that's very important for us today, because we can be motivated by a lot of different things in the scriptures, and I'll mention some of those, but there's a lot of different motivations that people have. They can be doing truth, doing right things, but if they've got the wrong motive, it's still wrong. I want to look here in another scripture in John the 6th chapter, in the 26th verse. It said Jesus let me read verse 24. It says, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Now I want to notice what Jesus answered these people. In verse 26, it says, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, But because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. That's quite a reproof. These people were seeking Jesus. That's a good thing to do. But they weren't seeking him because they saw God manifested in the power of God. They were seeking him because he satisfied an earthly appetite for them. And that's what Jesus said. He said, you're not seeking me because you saw the miracles. You're seeking me because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Then he goes on, he says, labor not for that meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Lord, help us today. Seeking Jesus is a good thing to do. Best thing to do. But why are we living for Jesus? If you don't mind me asking that. Why are we living for Jesus? Brother Galen mentioned the Sunday school in his youth. He had a real fear of hell. I don't know if he said he didn't expound too much on it, but he said he had a fear of hell. That may be a good starter point. But we can't do what we're doing the rest of our lives in serving God because we're just afraid of hell. It's coming short. It's not worshiping in spirit and in truth. We may be doing truth, but the spirit deals with the motivation and the affections. And I ask myself, am I serving the Lord just for what God can do for me? Just because I know he can give me a good life? Because he has the power to help me in time of need? Is that my motive, just for what God can do for me? Or am I giving my heart to know him and to walk with him and to communicate with him? There's a difference. These people here were serving because they ate of the loaves and they were filled. But Jesus wants us to have a heart for God, a heart that reaches out to him, that wants to know him in an intimate way. There's different motives the scripture talks about. One place it talks about, it mentioned that the Pharisees, it said many of them believed on Jesus, but they were afraid to confess him openly because they loved the praises of men more than the praises of God. They were motivated, the things that they were doing, they were praying, they were giving, they were fasting, but was it for the right reason? Was it being motivated by the right purpose and cause? The love and the praise and the honor of men can be a motivation for people. And I know we appreciate thankfulness, but we don't want to live for that. We don't want to. And Jesus reproved the Pharisees different times. He said, you know, you do it, you fast, to be seen of men. You make long prayers. Nothing wrong with praying. Nothing wrong with a long prayer. But their motivation was all wrong. And in the process, they didn't know God. Because the motivation was off. And I think about Jesus, that when he taught on those scriptures there in Matthew, he said, "Let not your left hand know what the right hand doeth." Do it in secret. Don't have to tell everybody what we're doing. We don't have to have everybody know everything. Do it in secret, and your Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. We don't want to just be motivated by the praise and the honor of men. Neither the fear of man. You know, fear of what people think, of what people say, sometimes can motivate us. We got to be careful. And like I said before, it takes the Lord's illuminating spirit to help us to see. You know, I don't feel like everything is just because we receive the Holy Spirit into our lives. That doesn't mean that everything is automatically that comes out after that is Holy Spirit stamped, approved. We've got the flesh to contend with. And if the flesh gets too strong and the Holy Spirit takes a back seat, then the motivation, the Holy Spirit, if it can be done in the Holy Spirit, it's going to be right. When the Holy Spirit's the motivator, it's going to be right. It'll come out right. But if it's just us, if it's just something of the flesh, there's a lot of different motivation things. Anger, jealousy. People do things, act out of those things. And Lord, the Lord sees, you know, when he looks down, he doesn't just weigh. The scripture's talking about him weighing the spirits, knowing the hearts of all men. And he knows us. He weighs us. And sometimes, you know, the Lord allows things to come up that touches us, pushes our button the wrong way, that comes out. And I think that, Lord, is his mercy to help us to make a correction, adjustment, and get things fixed. But I've been really challenged by this thought of, What is motivating me? What is motivating my life? Why do I do the things? You know, we can just take it for granted and say, "Oh, it's all because I love God." But I believe it takes the Lord to help us to see and recognize our motives. And we don't want to labor to figure out other people's motives, but we want to seek God to help us to know and understand our motives. Another scripture in Revelations, the second chapter. This scripture is always, I don't know, it's always been a challenge when I read this. Revelations 2 and 1. It says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, and who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. And has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath the ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now these had a lot of good qualities about them. They had borne. They had patience. They had labored. And they had not fainted. They were still doing truth. They had discernment. They had couldn't bear them which were said they were evil. They were able to try those that were false, found them liars. But he had something against them because it was no longer being motivated by love. The love wasn't there. The works were there. But the influence of love wasn't emanating those works, wasn't motivating those works. I don't know. It doesn't really, if they just got into a habit or a routine, but these were pretty good people in a lot of ways. So Lord, help us today to stay in love with the Lord, to keep that first love, that openness, that heart that reaches out to God. And I believe if we lose that love for God, I believe we can gain it back by seeking the Lord earnestly. But we want that to be what's emanating our actions, is the Holy Spirit, the love of God through the Holy Spirit living in us. There were people, I thought too about the scripture, it talks about the judgment and the people that said, Lord, we taught in your streets, we preached in your name, we done many mighty works. They did a lot. Now these people didn't, all their works weren't good because he said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So they weren't living, they weren't totally living in truth. They had probably some truth. They were doing some deeds, but I would say the motivation was definitely wrong. And it ended up in deeds. And I don't know how long people go in this state, if it lasts a lifetime or pretty soon they go back into sin. I'm not sure about that. But Lord, help us to keep a love for God, that our motivation is to please and honor him, not the fear of people, not the praise of men, but just a simple, honest, open desire to serve God, to live for him, and do his will for our life. He said, they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. And I believe this is part of what this scripture is referring to, is worshiping God in the truth, doing what we know the scriptures teach, living in the truth, but also being motivated by the Holy Spirit, keeping that love of God in our hearts, and that being our motivation. And that's what we desire, and that's what we want. And I believe that's what the kind of accepted worship the Lord accepts. It's not the it's not the perfection, I believe, that God's looking at in a temporal sense, but it's the love in the heart, I believe, that God God is wanting, and we want to have His love living and dwelling in us. And I appreciate your attention this morning. Pray for me.